Fasten your seatbelt and turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. You are listening to the Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble recording, recorded live in Wisconsin Rapids, kicking off our annual jazz show on Wisconsin Public Radio's Route 51. I'm Glenn Moberg. Today we're going to look at the growing jazz scene in our region with our three guests, David Hastings, a performer with the Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble, professor of saxophone at UW-Stevens Point, and director of the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions. Matt Bookman is with us, too. He's a pianist, composer, director of jazz studies at UW-Stevens Point, and artistic director of the Riverfront Jazz Festival. And Tim Buchholz, vocal jazz ensemble director, vice president of the River Valley Jazz Society, and associate professor of music at UW-Marathon County. Tim is also involved with both the upcoming Sid Kyler River Valley Jazz Festival and the Jazz on the River series in Wausau. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about the inspiration our guests find in jazz music, the artists who have influenced them, and the jazz festivals and events that are taking place this summer in north central Wisconsin. And we'd like you to be a part of the show as well. Please give us a call at 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I'll read it live on the air. David, tell us about the Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble.
Well, this is a 16-member big band, and it's kind of the brainchild of Brent Turney, who's professor of trumpet and chair of the music department at UWSP. And he is an offshoot to the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra. He got together with them and thought he's always wanted to create a professional big band in the area. And so he's done that through that umbrella, and it brings in musicians from the region, and we've now done several concerts, and they've been really terrific to be in the ensemble, but we've got a nice year coming up also.
Do you have kind of a rotating group of people who perform with you?
Yeah, I mean, there's kind of a core group that Brent draws from, but depending on availability, and we're fortunate enough in Wisconsin to have a lot of good musicians, so if someone can't make it, then they bring someone else in.
Well, there are a lot of different styles of jazz. What genres do you concentrate on?
Well, this is it's obviously the format is the big band, but it ranges from Duke Ellington to Count Basie to Thad Jones, Bob Mincer, and also I think this coming September when we do a concert, it's going to feature the music of Gil Evans. So it's what's cool
pretty
about
diverse.
Yeah, it's diverse, and it's been a lot of fun.
What kind of an audience is there for jazz music in central Wisconsin, David?
Well, I think there's, based on the festivals up here as well as the festival over Labor Day weekend and then the Scarabocchio sessions plus this big band, there's quite an audience. I mean, it's sort of you build it, they will come kind of thing, because it's people are just loving what's going on. So,
are young people getting into jazz music?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I've performed a couple of times at the festival over Labor Day weekend, but usually I'm there in the audience on the lawn participating, and it's the range of age groups is quite wide.
Here's an old joke for you. What's the difference between a jazz guitar player and a rock guitar player?
I don't know, Glenn.
A jazz guitar player, a rock guitar player plays three chords for thousands of people. A jazz guitar player plays thousands of chords. Well, you can fill it in, but apparently we are proving that old adage wrong in central Wisconsin. Matt Bookman, you play with a lot of different jazz artists. You're a pianist and a composer. Same question for you. What kind of an audience is there for jazz music in central Wisconsin, and are we attracting young people?
I think we're attracting people from all age ranges. I would just echo David's sentiment about looking out over the lawn at the Riverfront Jazz Festival. And we have toddlers up to people who are in their 80s. You know, and I have the privilege of teaching at the university, so I work with young people in high school, middle school, and of course the college set as part of what I get to do every day. So I see a lot of enthusiasm and passion there.
How big of a role does UW-Stevens Point play in the art scene in central Wisconsin?
It's huge. I think it's absolutely crucial, just as UW-Marathon County is. You know, we not only put on concerts, summer camps, but obviously my role as the artistic director of the Riverfront Jazz Festival is because of my connection to the university. So the role of the institution in the cultural life of the community is absolutely crucial.
Tim Buchholz, same question for you. How big of an audience for jazz music is there in central Wisconsin, and are we attracting young people?
We sure are, and absolutely, we're attracting a wide age range. Even just in the first 2 weeks of our new Jazz on the River series up here in Wausau, we've been tremendously encouraged by just how many people have come out, and you look out, our first day was a rain day in the mall, and our second day was a beautiful Sunday on the river, and you looked out and you saw people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, up through, as Matt said, in their 80s, and it's a great audience, and it's a huge audience for a brand new series. We are drawing hundreds of people.
And talk about the role UW-Marathon County plays in the art scene in central Wisconsin.
Sure. We give, as UWSP does, dozens of concerts a year. We perform throughout the community. And as a teacher at UW-Marathon County, I get myself involved in the local music scene. So being a part of the River Valley Jazz Society and Jazz on the River and the Sid Kyler Jazz Fest is because I'm here in town and teaching at the university.
Well, you lead your own quintet, which will be playing at the Sid Kyler Jazz Festival,
yeah.
And that's the weekend after this coming one. And you're also a choral director. You lead a group known as the Jazz Central Voices. Let's listen to them in a recording from last year's Sid Kyler River Valley Jazz Festival.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and for you. And I sing to myself, what a
Tim, tell us about the Jazz Central Voices.
Yeah, that's a great ensemble that I conduct here at the university. It is a community ensemble. It's actually a community ensemble, we call it, because we have a mix of college students singing in that group as well as community members. And the community members come throughout central Wisconsin. Many of them are local music educators and regional music educators. Many have degrees in music, but many are just people who love music and are professionals in other fields. It's a great group, and we sing with the rhythm section. It's usually about 15 singers. In fact, we're performing tonight in Stevens Point at the Band Shell to open the Levitt Amp concert series at 6 o'clock tonight. So it's a great group to hear. We had our concert for Jazz on the River this past Sunday and had a great audience there and really diverse set of music. We do everything from big band style stuff. We did some like Count Basie tunes and vocal leases that John Hendricks wrote of some Basie and Ellington stuff, through contemporary and modern vocal jazz arrangements, somewhat like you're hearing right now.
The Sid Kyler River Valley Jazz Festival is now in its eighth year, and it takes place Friday and Saturday. That's July 28th and 29th at the Bull Falls Brewery on Wausau's east side. You've got 14 local bands, Tim Buchholz, who'll be performing on two different stages. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this thing is such a great jazz festival. It's kind of a local gem that keeps growing, and every year I meet people that come to it and say, man, I never knew about this thing. So thanks for helping us promote it, Glenn, because I think it's like I said, it's a real gem in our community. To have 14 bands, most of whom are either from Wausau or very nearby this region, it's pretty incredible when you think about it. There's that many different and diverse jazz bands in our area. I think it's really a cool pocket of Wisconsin that we live in, that we have all this great jazz music happening.
Well, Friday, we've got the Omnos Quintet, Patchwork, the Restoration Jazz Band, the Paul Zopel Quintet, Scott Keen, and the Denise Sauter Quintet. And then Saturday, the Bridge Street Dixieland Review, John Griner's Swing Shift Big Band, the Don Larson Trio, the Jazzberries, the New Orleans Hot House Jazz Band, the Jeff Erickson Quartet, your own group, the Tim Buchholz Quintet, and finally the Sid Kyler Tribute Band, featuring many of the musicians who performed with Sid Kyler, a great horn player, before he passed away a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Sid loved traditional jazz music, particularly Dixieland jazz. And the River Valley Jazz Festival, although it features bands that do all of those genres, you're really pretty heavy on traditional American jazz music.
Sure, and I think that's a great tribute to, as you said, to Sid and the music that he loved. There's quite a bit of Dixieland and more early traditional jazz music at that festival, and we've certainly grown an audience that appreciates that type of music. But as you can see from that lineup, we're also expanding, including groups from other genres as well.
And you raise money for music scholarships. Talk about that.
Sure. The mission of the Jazz Fest and of the River Valley Jazz Society is both to promote jazz music, but also to encourage and enrich the lives of jazz music and young musicians through scholarships and through promoting the education of jazz music.
And that's at UW-Marathon County and the Wausau Conservatory.
And the Wausau Conservatory, yeah. Yeah, the scholarships go each year to students to study jazz music at those two schools.
And there'll be food and drink. You've got caterers from 2510 Restaurant and, of course, the folks at the Bull Falls Brewery.
Sure, and volunteers get a free beer. I'll put that out there. So if you sign up for a two-hour slot, go grab a free beer and some free jazz music.
Oh, I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble for you saying that, so we'll just we'll push on here. Admission is free, Tim. What is the challenge of trying to raise money with a free festival?
Yeah, well, because you're not taking any income in at the door, right? So you have to rely on sponsors who are tremendous in supporting this jazz festival, and you have to rely on the generosity of the folks that come in to make a donation to the Jazz Fest to say that, hey, I appreciate what's going on here and I want to support what's going on. And really, there is tremendous support from those people that come to the Jazz Fest through their donations at the door.
And Matt Bookman, same question for you. You're the artistic director of the Riverfront Jazz Festival, which takes place Labor Day weekend in Fifner Pioneer Park in Stevens Point. What's the challenge of doing a free festival? You attract some big-name talent to that show.
We do. It's the same as what Tim was saying. Without an admission charge, we're really relying primarily on the generosity of local business owners who have given very generously over the years and continue to do that. This year, we've actually started a crowdfund source on classy.org that people can log on to and give to the festival to try to bridge some of that gap.
You've got a great lineup of musicians there for Labor Day weekend again this year, perhaps one of the best, I think, in the history of the festival. Your headliner, Sunday, September 3rd, is an incredibly accomplished guitar player, Russell Malone. Let's listen to him. Blues when it's played with a clean sound, you know?
It's great, isn't it?
And Russell Malone is playing the blues here, but he's a very eclectic guitarist. I'm sure we'll hear that Labor Day weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's been compared to Wes Montgomery, Grant Green, Kenny Burrell, and even Django Reinhardt. Mm. He's got multiple albums out, several of which topped the jazz charts, and he's collaborated with vocalist and pianist Diana Krall.
Yep.
And he's just one of the musicians that you've got there this Labor Day weekend.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, he's originally from Georgia and learned guitar pretty much on his own, being inspired by some of the artists that you just mentioned, particularly Wes Montgomery. Got a start playing with the great organ player Jimmy Smith. And
legendary organ player.
Absolutely, yeah. So Russell Malone has quite a pedigree.
The lineup, Saturday, September 2nd, the Omnos Quintet, the Laura Caviani Trio, and the New Light Orchestra featuring saxophonist Dave Liebman. David Hastings, that's quite a draw as well.
You bet. He's a great influence, and his influence primarily was John Coltrane, but he has taken that and he played with Miles Davis, and then he's one of the greats on the scene, so it's going to be a real treat to hear him.
Then on Sunday, Salsa Manzana, Tiffany Monique, and Russell Malone. Matt, the Riverfront Jazz Festival has a history of featuring Latin jazz in its lineup.
Yeah. They do, or I should say it does, and I have to give a shout-out to my friend Lee Ayers. That is a perennial request of Lee, is to incorporate at least one group that has that particular style.
And David Hastings, you and Matt have both worked together on another fixture in the Central Wisconsin jazz scene, Saskara Bocchio Jazz Listening Sessions. David, tell us about that.
Sure. The Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra moved into a facility. This is the Smith Saskara Bocchio Art Gallery in downtown Stevens Point a couple of years ago. And in exploring that space, I realized that it was acoustically really terrific. And I've always been looking for a place that is simply a room that people can come and listen in kind of an intimate setting. And so what we have done is created a jazz series there. And it's pretty much as the fall gets started, we try to do something every 2 weeks, either on a Monday night or a Wednesday night. And I'm lucky enough to bring in friends and musicians from the region to play. I'm selfishly always playing, so it gives me an opportunity to play. But it's been what's interesting about it is we started with absolutely no budget. We asked for a $10 donation, and it's grown from, I think the first session had maybe six people in the audience, and now we have 50 to 70 pretty much every time. And so we have a following. We have and it's just a great place to play, and Matthew's played a number of times. We're going to get Tim there at some point, and it's just a really good thing. Yeah.
I'm Glenn Moberg. If you just joined us, we're talking about the jazz scene in Central Wisconsin with David Hastings and Matt Bookman, who are working very hard to make jazz music work in Stevens Point, and also Tim Buchholz, who's instrumental in the jazz scene in the Wausau area. David, is that a great pairing, jazz music in an art museum?
Absolutely, because we've noticed that it's sort of served a number of things. Typically, obviously, there's an exhibit there. So while we are there performing during breaks or even during the performance, it draws people in to see the gallery. And it's also a great way to just promote live music and a way to also experience the art, but also let people know about other live music like the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra.
Now, we have something new to the Central Wisconsin jazz scene this year. We've already touched on it a little bit, the Jazz on the River series in Wausau. And again, that's every Sunday evening through the summer, 5 to 7 p.m. through August in the Marathon County Library Plaza. That's down by the river. Sunday, August 6th, you're going to want to put that on your calendar. The featured performer is Janet Planet.
Well, that mockingbird's going to sail away. We're going to let it. That big fat moon's going to shine like a spoon. We're going to let it. Close your eyes. close the door. You don't have to worry anymore. 'Cause I'll be baby tonight.
Janet Planet's latest work features jazz renditions of classic Bob Dylan songs. Tim Buchholz, you had Janet at UW Marathon County just a few weeks ago to work with aspiring jazz vocalists from around the state in a jazz vocal camp that you put on.
Yeah, it was our Vocal Jazz Festival, and we had had lots of high school and college groups come in from throughout the state, and oh man, they had a blast working with Janet. She had some inspirational ideas for them. She had great musical thoughts for them to consider and just gave a stunning performance that evening that both the students and everyone from the community that came as well really, really enjoyed.
She has really been a force for jazz music in our region. Matt, she has also appeared at the Riverfront Jazz Festival in Stevens Point.
Yep, that's right. In fact, the recording that you're playing, there's another connection there. The recording that you're playing, the UW Stevens Point Jazz Ensemble got to play this music with her a couple springs ago, which was a blast.
Far out.
Yeah.
Far out. Tim, who's performing this Sunday?
This Sunday, the guy sitting right next to me here, Matt Bookman's leading his jazz quintet.
Quartet.
Yep. At the Jazz on the River. So we're really excited to have Matt's jazz quartet there.
Matt, tell us what an audience can expect if they show up Sunday evening, 5 o'clock, just underneath the Marathon County Public Library.
You'll get to hear Ryan Korb on drum set, Dave Story on bass, and my friend Tom Washotka, who is Janet Planet's better half.
Well, there's another connection. Now, Tom, of course, will be playing saxophone.
That's right. Yep, standing in for my friend David Hastings to my right.
And Janet, then, on August 6th. It's our annual Route 51 Jazz Show with Matt Bookman of the Riverfront Jazz Festival, David Hastings of the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions, and Tim Buchholz of the River Valley Jazz Society. I'm Glenn Moberg. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-780-9742, or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page. I'll read it live on the air. Again, that's 1-800-780-9742. If you love jazz music in central Wisconsin, if you've attended any of these festivals, give these guys a shout-out, because I think they'd like to hear from you. 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, our guests will talk about some of their musical influences on Route 51.
Support for WPR comes from American Transmission Company. ATC provides a pathway for power into communities throughout Wisconsin. ATC owns and operates the high-voltage electric transmission system that helps keep the lights on, businesses running, and communities strong. Support also comes from Cats and Barkers in Wausau, a natural pet food store dedicated to helping family pets live long, healthy, and happy lives. Katzenbarkers.com. That's K-A-T-Z-E-N, Barkers.com.
Saxophonist John Greiner and his Swing Shift Big Band taking us into the next segment of the annual Route 51 Jazz Show. I'm Glenn Moberg with Matt Bookman of the Riverfront Jazz Festival, David Hastings of the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions, and Tim Buchholz of the River Valley Jazz Society. That number again, if you want to join the conversation, 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. Or you can put a comment on the Route 51 Facebook page, and I will read it live on the air. Let's go to the phones right now. We have David in Wausau, who's a member of the River Valley Jazz Society. David, welcome aboard.
Hey, great show. Great show, y'all. Thanks for having this, Glenn. I just want to represent myself as one of the founding members of the River Valley Jazz Society.
This is David Keefe, correct?
Yes, it is. Thanks, Glenn. And I'm going to drop some names on you. Scott Stieber was another founding member, Jim LaPointe. Sid Kyler came on board, of course, and I just want to say, as somebody who outdates all of you by probably not a whole lot of years, but and as someone who who has worked with, bought up into jazz and worked with musicians who worked fake books or no paper at all. In my case, I don't read much at all. Seeing the formally trained musicians pick up the baton and take this to another milestone is just tickles my heart, and I want to thank y'all for doing it. And I'll see you at Sid Kyler's Festival. I'll be doing Sound in the Tap Room Friday and all day Saturday.
All right. Thank you, David Keefe. Tim Buchholz.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, David. And man, Wausau is so lucky that you guys had the forethought to start this jazz society. So thanks to you and all the founding members of the River Valley Jazz Society. It's we all appreciate it.
You know, I've been active in that. I should probably just mention that I've emceed the festival for the last several years and sat in with Sid Kyler's band, played with him for several years while he was still alive, and boy, what an inspiration he was. What a great horn player and a guy who'd been playing since 1947 until he passed away just a few years ago, and he could still blow down the walls with that trumpet. It was amazing. So John Greiner again performing this year, and again that's July 28th and 29th at the Bull Falls Brewery. John, of course, has been one of the driving forces for the River Valley Jazz Society as well.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He's always a huge draw with that big band. Such a powerful sound, great band, and he's so well known in the Wausau community that people come out to the Jazz Fest specifically to hear him. And then they end up staying after and enjoying some food and drinks and hearing all the other bands as well.
Yeah. And Matt, he's performed at the Riverfront Jazz Festival as well.
Yep, that's right, both in small groups as well as the big band.
And he always does the Star Spangled Banner with his big band.
Well, that's his military background, Glenn.
Yeah, the logistics, David Hastings, of performing with a big band are formidable. You're having to coordinate and pay all of those musicians with all of those instruments instead of smaller groups with their smaller overhead.
Yeah, it is a it is a challenge to do that, to get everybody's schedules together. But I have to say that it typically falls together really nicely. The thing I appreciated about playing with John's band was how incredibly well-organized he was. It was so professionally done, and you'd come in there, and you wouldn't play the watered-down arrangements. You'd play the actual arrangements of Artie Shaw and musicians you know, of the history of jazz, and it was a pleasure to play that, and not to mention sit next to John play. It was great.
We want to get into your influences as musicians. Tim Buchholz, you picked Bobby McFerrin as one of your vocal jazz influences. Let's listen to his rendition of the Lennon-McCartney classic, Blackbird.
Beep, 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 blackbird singing in the dead of night. Sing the song and I has learned to sing. Ding, ding, ba, ding, ba, ding, all your life. We're only waiting for this moment to be afraid. Beep, 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 doo, doo, blackbird, her fly. Boom, 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 blackbird, her fly. Boom, 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 yeah, to the light on the dark black night.
Tim, I can't believe that he's doing that with one voice. It sounds like there's a trio there.
Oh, man, that's one of my top five albums of all time, Glenn. The whole album is just him live on stage. So that's all recorded live, one microphone, one voice. And as you can tell, he's singing the melody and providing the bass line and a little bit of harmony in there.
And even the sound of birds fluttering away.
And what's incredible on that track is you've heard of like circular breathing when you're playing like a brass instrument. What he's doing is he's actually creating pitch when he's breathing in so he can keep going and not put any space as he's singing. So he's actually circular singing in a way, right?
Now, you've performed with Bobby McFerrin. Tell us about that.
Sure. I've had a few opportunities to work with him, both in college and then as on a young artist series at Carnegie Hall when I was in grad school. And, man, he's just such an incredible musician, and I think the best singer on the planet because he can do so many things in so many genres. He's obviously a very accomplished jazz musician, but there was a point where he was conducting the St. Paul Chamber Orchestra, and while he did that, sang the violin concertos for them at the same time, right? So what he's able to do with his voice, I think, far surpasses anyone in their technical proficiency and musicianship. He's just an incredible human being.
Tim, you, of course, emphasize vocal jazz music as opposed to Matt and David, who are instrumentalists. Does that give you a different perspective? Oh, I want to hear the echoes here.
Night, 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 night.
The question again, does that give you a different perspective? The human voice is something that we use to communicate with people on a daily basis. Most of us don't think of it as a jazz instrument, but you look at it that way.
Sure, and I guess the one thing that singers have that instrumentalists don't is the lyrics, right? But I bet if you ask Matt and David, the best jazz players are thinking about the lyrics to a tune as they're playing them, right? I mean,
many do.
Yeah. So I think yes, certainly the lyrical part of a song is can connect with an audience in a different way. But I think we're all still approaching the same music, certainly.
You know, I can interject that I know, for example, Dexter Gordon. I remember hearing an interview, and he talked about his connection to someone like Billie Holiday, and that it was Lester Young and Billie Holiday, same kind of connection to where the instrumentalist influences the vocalist and the other way around. Yeah. We try to get the sound. Yeah.
Matt Bookman, I asked you for some of your influences as a pianist and a composer, and you came up with Keith Jarrett. Here he is with Jack DeJohnette and Gary Peacock. Bookman, this trio on this piece called Prism certainly has a driving, even a hypnotic rhythm.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I love about Keith and that trio is they are not afraid to go anywhere musically. I mean, this feels like something out of a late 80s pop tune. You know, it has that kind of energy to it, kind of a rock ballad kind of feel to it. And in the course of one piece, let alone one album, you may hear something that sounds more like Cecil Taylor or avant-garde. You know, they just go anywhere that the music takes them, and they go there together, the three of them.
Oh, the syncopated rhythm, the tightness of this is, like I said, it's hypnotic. You're the director of jazz studies at UW Stevens Point. You're the artistic director of the Riverfront Jazz Festival. You lead your own quartet. And, Matt, you performed with a long list of artists, including Randy Sabine, Karen Allison, Matt Wilson, singer-songwriter L.J. Booth, and the Nelson Riddle Orchestra.
Yeah.
Tell us about that orchestra. Famously, they backed up Frank Sinatra for many years.
Yeah. Well, you know, the interesting thing about the big band scene nationally is that there are still big bands that tour like the Nelson Riddle Orchestra or Tommy Dorsey or Glenn Miller, any of these groups, they're still out there. And a lot of them carry their own consistent personnel, but a very reduced number of musicians. And so anywhere that they're playing, they'll ask the local musicians to come in play with them. And so that's how I got to play with the Nelson Riddle. I think it was I can't remember where that was actually, where we were playing, but... you know, when you get right down to it, the community of musicians that play this music is pretty small. Everybody knows everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got a call from somebody got my name, and I got a call and got to go and play with that orchestra, which was a blast.
Well, it's like working in radio.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Right.
David Hastings, I asked you for your influences as a sax player. Two names came up, Dexter Gordon and John Coltrane. So let's listen to a piece by Coltrane called I'm Old Fashioned. David, talk about this composition, how it influenced you, the sound, the tone, the feeling that he gets.
Well, I happened upon this recording, I think, through a friend of mine in high school. And this particular album, Blue Train, you know, it includes Curtis Fuller on trombone and Lee Morgan on trumpet, as well as Kenny Drew on piano and Philly Joe Jones on drums and Paul Chambers on bass. And I think the thing that got me with this particular standard rendition certainly is John Coltrane's sound and his lyricism. But it's the way the tune is put together, and I have to say, Curtis Fuller's solo on this one. I mean, while I was in high school, while a lot of kids were at pep rallies at football games, we were just hanging out, listening to this music, and I remember us singing the Curtis Fuller solo together. Huh. You know, just as a thing to do, and it's just such a beautiful it's such a beautiful solo because it's so lyrical and vocal, if you will, and it just, you know, it almost brings a tear to my eye when I hear this recording because it's just so, it's perfect. You know?
So listen to that, youngsters. If you don't seem to fit in and you're not going to the pep rallies and the other high school activities, you could end up being a very, very good musician and a professor of saxophone at UW-Stevens Point. David, you've also listed Charlie Parker, Cannonball Adderley, Sonny Rollins, and Dewey Redman as influences.
Yeah, you bet. It was a tough assignment to kind of narrow it down because I think I would answer that question different daily. And I also say that the great thing about this music is my influences not only are in recorded music, but also the musicians I play with. I play with Matthew frequently. Tim and I did something, I don't know, a couple of months ago. But every time I play with musicians like this, those become influences too. So that's the nature of this music is that constant influence.
Oh, you also perform classical music as well. Is that correct?
Yes.
You're in groups as a soloist and as a chamber musician.
Yes.
Beauty of jazz, of course, is the improvisational quality of it, which is something you don't get with classical music.
Yeah. Well, I always kind of think, and of course, there's some artists out there. Wynton Marsalis is one. Bobby McFerrin, you know, to name a couple. Keith Jarrett, where the lines kind of blur when it comes to playing so-called classical music and jazz. Mm-hmm. And so I think that that's the thing I've admired tremendously. In fact, there's a recording that I don't know when this was discovered, but it's a John Coltrane Thelonious Monk Carnegie Hall concert. And I almost put that one down the list too because when I hear that, to me the lines are completely gone. It's like great classical chamber music. That might be my Desert Island CD. I don't know, but tomorrow it'll be something else probably.
Matt Bookman, talk about the music program at UW Stevens Point, which you and David are both a part of, mm-hmm. and the quality of it, the students you attract, and the music that you really produce on a daily basis.
Well, I'm almost at a loss for words because it's such a great place to live and work and make music with my friends and with the students. I inherited the jazz program from my predecessor, Bob Case, who was the director of jazz studies and has since moved on. He's now the dean of a school of music up in Duluth. That was a recent appointment. So Bob, if you're listening, hello. The students that we have in the program are dedicated. They're bright. They're talented. You've mentioned the group, the Omnos Quintet, a couple of times on the show. That's a group comprised of current and former students from the program. They are primarily from Wisconsin, you know, around the state, and it just points to the fact that you know, this great state that we live in produces the finest musicians in the world, and I'm privileged to work at such a great place.
You're listening to our annual Route 51 Jazz Show with Matt Bookman of the Riverfront Jazz Festival, David Hastings of the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions, and Tim Buchholz of the River Valley Jazz Society. I'm Glenn Moberg. We've got links to the Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble and the River Valley Jazz Society and the Riverfront Jazz Festival on our Facebook page. If you go there and you want to have a comment for our guests, I'll try to read it on the air. We may be able to squeeze in another phone call at 1-800-780-9742. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Wisconsin Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension, with additional financial support from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from listeners through the Wisconsin Public Radio Association. Support also comes from Christine Bremer-Moogley of the personal injury law firm Bremer & Trollope, committed to protecting the rights of accident victims throughout Wisconsin. Bremer & Trollope, because the right results matter most. Bremer-Law.com.
Saxophonist David Liebman channeling John Coltrane on the pop standard My Favorite Things, taking us into our final segment on the annual Route 51 Jazz Show. I'm Glenn Moberg with Matt Bookman of the Riverfront Jazz Festival, David Hastings of the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions, and Tim Buchholz of the River Valley Jazz Society. David Liebman and the New Light Orchestra will be a featured performer at this year's Riverfront Jazz Festival. That's Labor Day weekend, Saturday, September 2nd, and Sunday, September 3rd at Fiffner Pioneer Park. And he will be performing Saturday night. He has performed with Miles Davis, Elvin Jones, Chick Corea, John McLaughlin, McCoy Tyner, and others, David Hastings.
Yeah, he's, again, as I mentioned earlier, he's an icon, and the fact that he's going to be in town is, I'm still pinching myself.
Matt Bookman, are you pinching yourself as well?
I am, and actually, I can't wait to hear David Liebman, but also I can't wait to hear his drummer. He's going to have a guy by the name of Adam Nussbaum with him, and they are featuring the music of Elvin Jones is really the focus of the New Light Quartet. And Adam Nussbaum is someone I saw play with Michael Brecker when I was in college, an absolutely life-changing performance. So I can't wait to see Adam Nussbaum play.
And Tim Buchholz says, David and Matt, prepare for their festival on Labor Day weekend. The River Valley Jazz Society in Wausau is hard at work putting together the final details on this year's Sid Kyler River Valley Jazz Fest. And again, it's next weekend. Last weekend in July for the first time this year, July 27th and 28th.
28th and 29th.
28th and 29th, 28th excuse me.
Friday and Saturday, the 28th, 29th. And yeah, we're gearing up and getting ready for another great jazz festival this year, the 8th annual. And like you said earlier in the program, Glenn, 14 groups over those 2 days, Friday 4 to 10 and Saturday 2 to 10.
We want to play another jazz selection, this one recommended by Matt Bookman. Tim, you'll probably enjoy this as well. It's one of the greatest singers of all time, Ray Charles and the Count Basie Orchestra, putting their very unique touch on a much-played show tune from the musical Oklahoma. Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Well, I say, oh, what a beautiful morning. Yeah. Yes, what a wonderful day. Y'all look out there. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything going my way. Y'all come on now. Oh, the cattle are standing like statues. Cattle are standing like statues. They don't turn their heads as they see me ride by. But a little brown maverick is winking her eye. She said, oh,
What a beautiful morning.
This really shows how a great singer and a great band leader can take over a piece of music, even one that's been played over and over and over again, and make it completely fresh.
This recording has a really interesting history to it. There were recordings of Ray Charles and the Count Basie Orchestra playing on the same concert discovered, but not playing together. The guy who discovered the recording thought that that's what he had. It gave him the idea of actually taking the recording of Ray Charles singing and recording a new track underneath it with the Count Basie Orchestra, which was an amazing technological feat. I can't imagine doing that.
Is that how this was put together?
That's how this was put together.
So they're not actually performing
together.
They're
not playing together.
Wow. Tim, your thoughts on Ray Charles as a singer?
Oh, man, yeah. He can tell a story, right? So what's so cool is you sometimes forget he's singing. I mean, he's got pitch and he's got great, you know, intonation, but he's telling a story. He's just telling you a story and talking almost through his singing and through his music. It's
and
great.
His style really evolved. If you listen to his really early stuff, it sounds almost like the old Nat King Cole trio,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't until he'd matured over the decades that he got this mixture of jazz, blues, gospel, and even country
That's
music
right.
somehow.
Yeah. Right.
You know, what's the song? I Can't Stop Loving You. It's one of the best country and western songs ever recorded.
Yep. There's a thread here with all of these fantastic musicians that we're listing, and that is that they're boundaryless, you know. Keith Jarrett, Bobby McFerrin, Ray Charles is another example where there's, you know, the sense of category is really not an issue for them.
And Ray Charles shows that jazz music at its core is something that can reach large groups of people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, we're out of time. So, final thoughts, David Hastings?
Well, it's been a pleasure just talking about what we do and the importance of this music with my friends here. It's been great. And I'm just in the process of setting up the fall schedule for the Skirbokiu Jazz Sessions. And again, they'll be on Monday and Wednesdays. And people can check out the Central Wisconsin Symphony Orchestra website or the Facebook connection to those sessions as well as we get them planned.
Matt Bookman?
Well, I want to echo David. I want to thank you, Glenn, for taking an interest in this and helping us promote jazz. You know, just as the schools that we represent and the jazz festivals that we represent are important to the fabric of the community, so is WPR. So I want to thank you.
And UW-Stevens Point and UW-Marathon County are so important to
Absolutely.
The fabric of the community as well.
Yep.
Tim Buchholz?
Yeah. Thank you to all you guys, and thanks, Glenn, for helping us promote this music. It's very thrilling to see. It seems to be a upward-moving trend in our communities that jazz music has more and more followers, more and more venues, more and more series. We're just thrilled to see this music keep staying alive and even growing in years to come.
Thank you all three for being with us today.
The Sid Kyler Dixieland Band.
The late, great Sid Kyler providing the traveling music today. We want to thank our guests, David Hastings, professor of saxophone at UW-Stevens Point and director of the Skirbokiu Jazz Listening Sessions. Also, Matt Bookman, director of jazz studies at UW-Stevens Point and artistic director of the Riverfront Jazz Festival. And Tim Buchholz, vice president of the River Valley Jazz Society and associate professor of music at UW-Marathon County. The 8th Annual Sid Kyler River Valley Jazz Fest takes place Friday and Saturday, July 28th and 29th at the Bull Falls Brewery on Wausau's east side. The Riverfront Jazz Festival takes place Labor Day weekend at Fifner Pioneer Park in Stevens Point. Both of those events are free, and the Jazz on the River series takes place in Wausau's Library Plaza Sundays from 5 to 7 p.m. through August 27th. And a reminder that the Scarabocchio Jazz Listening Sessions take place periodically at the Scarabocchio Art Museum in Stevens Point. I'm Glenn Moberg. Thanks to our executive producer, Rick Ryer, our on-air producer, Janice Schleiss, production assistant, Chris Watkins. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. Special music today by Denise Sauter, the Central Wisconsin Jazz Ensemble, the Jazz Central Voices, Russell Malone, Janet Planet, John Griner's Swing Shift, Bobby McFerrin, Keith Jarrett, John Coltrane, David Liebman, Ray Charles and Count Basie, and the Sid Kyler Jazz Band. We're heading out of town.